Rosie messages in Titan, huh?
No, there's a difference with those. It's like you've got them in your structure. the border in our front, every political strategy participates. PAM, everything. So they're more closer to South African politics than isolating them from that. Yeah. School kids. And done by a lawyer. Mother accusing a lawyer. They say the guy who organized that was a lawyer. And the shooting was done by him. At a certain level, they're supposed to be highly academic to kill the own students. There should be something wrong. Probably if you go into ethnology, you wouldn't be sense that there's this fundamentalism and existing in all these things. But now it's all part of fighting you over the Dakar issue.
Yeah.
My man is that very bad choice. That's a very difficult call. But don't go for them publicly. Don't go for them publicly. They will find themselves demonstrating here looking for you. Don't be harsh on them. No. But they will come in.
I'm worried about Nigeria.
But I mean, they've done a lot. I mean, they've gone through the election. It's been quite good. But to fight Boko Haram is going to be a big struggle. And nobody can explain it.
There's no government.
Both in Nigeria and Kenya. You should be worried about it.
And those are the Western power,
yeah,
and the Eastern power.
Yeah.
East African powerhouse.
And West. And if they can now come down, what are we doing? But I have really the problem with them, they're all different fundamental propositions. Real fundamental. At least I hear the MC is going to meet today.
Yeah.
Doesn't encourage yourself for them to respond immediately. Than postponing it for a long time. That's the relationship we have with them. That's extreme. That's very extreme, Rosa.
And also, they started like that game,
anyway. No, I don't know, but think that's just that. Maybe when I come out with...
Maybe the demand has to go for a hand.
He is, the candidate. Even us can object to that.
Can object to Boko Haram?
No, you can't come and get your own question. I told him that he
only wants... Must allow him to defend himself.
No.
We should start. That's
what we should wait for all members to be here, really. But also, like from our research, it's important that we have interactions, informal interactions, discussions, just to ensure that we start leveling the playing field in now.
Yes, sir.
Colleagues, we have concluded 1-9 those. And I know that EF has made a lot of presentations at the time, and a lot of discussions, and of course, and we are very happy that it seems members of parliament now that are excited on the roots issue, which is very good for us. We invited all parties to come because before that we are not a decision making structure, it's important to invite as many colleagues as possible to attend the meeting. But also as a rule, we have also agreed that from time to time we invite the experts or even any members who want us to come and make a presentation on one step sometimes that's better set work. That we should continue to invest because the more we engage for the community of parliament, the better for all of us. So the rules must stand the test of time. We should amend the rules every time when there's a point of order by those and we're not always in Florida, who spend the test of time. We know also that we are serving a democratic institution. Parliament is a must-have in a democratic institution. Then we are through on this one, and then we went to the Rules Committee, we made some presentation, the Rules Committee took a decision that is better for us to finalize the entire rules book from 1 to chapter 16 and present a very composite proposal to the Rules Committee for consideration. Time is not on our side. We must start moving now. The process started in 2012, but in earnest, we started in 2014-13. And therefore, I think we've been given sufficient time now to analyze the rules. And we know that the rule, of course, from time to time, as 101, rule 201, there will be amended from time to time to accommodate the standard of neutrality. And we must then take a view that we should finalize this 10 to 15 within the next 2 weeks. Finalize it completely. They are very detailed one. Committees is a very detailed substance. We must really apply our mind on committees, 21 years of experience of machinery. We must be assisting us and also hopefully we invite. When we do committees, we invite people at the committees on deliberations from the administration to attend with us in order for them to assist us to deal with some of the issues. And then go for the legislative process. It's very long, but yes, we went for, I think, 1996 or 97. And maybe there will be no major issue that we have to do. It's just a cast. I'm not sure why they're reading the first reading and the second reading. I thought we should get to go close to the gym. And then we have what we call introduction of the bill, because I think we have accepted that all bill must be introduced. You shouldn't have bills that are not introduced, I think is a problem about that. We understand the development of this class of university, secondary. We understood that, but there is no critical way that we ensure that the bill is introduced by a member in charge, taken to committees. That is the preference of the preference of the that refers to committees, refers to committees, and then we come back and then we debate it here and we pass or reject or we avoid it then. So we should just avoid the really level of exercise that is meaningless, you know. And I think we must look at that as we deal with the question of legislation. Hopefully the AEC also will come to decide this matter. And then there are all other parties, I think, of making that presentation on some of the issues. The more many parties get involved and engaged, the better for all of us. Because what we want is complete acceptance of the rules of Parliament by every member. Even when a member is taken out of the House, he knows that there's nothing personal about that, especially because of the rules that a member, of course, may not have 100% of members, 400 members of Parliament accepting. But generally, all parties must accept the spirit of our rules and the license. Because once we do that, then we'll have a discussion and members of Parliament, as we have said, I think, that are not designing the rule to manage politics. They are designing the rule to regulate how we engage in politics. They're not manage politics, really, not to tell members what to say, what not, or how to engage in politics. But we want to regulate it, that we don't get to politics or personalities and parts and all this. Within the rule, we should assist us to do so. And we want to request that the members must assist us to do so. Then we are going to design then a process, because we must also pay attention to the rules committee. When are we intending to submit the entire rule book back to them? Surely within 2 weeks, if you are able to finalize the entire 5, 10 to 15. They make one there, then that was it for me. That we have done now the issue of the, we are doing today 10 and then 11. 11 is the easiest one. The message is that no one people will object to that. And then I know that we said we have a long discussion on taking formats for the room we say not a formal. So sometimes we take a formal and informal approach in our discussion. And then 11 really the easiest one. And then 10, little bit question, a little bit trickier than there, but I think we'll agree on some of the presentation. 12 committees, more detailed ones. really bad members who really apply their mind on that. So they are artists and chefs. Meditative process is after testing, I think it's testing or what? Testing. And then it's a very detailed one. How we make laws, how we do things. The Uganda issue that outside, the issue that needs to be finalized, I think, by the structure, the amendment of the, what is the money bill. And then I think there must be a change that isn't the money bill amendment. There are a lot of other issues that are pending in terms of, but first, we should finalize what is given to us, present to the Rules Committee, as other forum, finalize some of the pending issues around the amendment, the proposals, then we can be able then to deal with them as they are presented to us. I think we should do so. Then I think by May possible, we should then refer everything to, after the Rules Committee have looked at it, I think we've had it to parties, the entire May that allowed parties to conduct their workshop, work out things, and then by June we should be intending to pass by the legislative assembly or by the National Assembly, because these are rules of the National Assembly. Bearing in mind that some of the issues that we are going to deal, we know that giving 4 weeks to parties, some parties don't even do a single week on this issue. But the thing that are major parties, there are 3 parties that are very big in Parliament. At least they are here themselves, not having enough time to go to workshop. Because I know that you organize a meeting of lawyers. Maybe one should organize those lawyers to look at the rules and the discussion on that. By June then I think this year with the assembly, we should have finalized everything and presented to the assembly for adoption. And then May feed into parties after the rule committee has looked at it and agreed. Parties may organize workshops. And then as you organize workshops, the staff of parliament is always available to all parties to come and assist parties in terms of the rules and ensure to work at some of the approaches. And have 1 or 2 meetings of the subcommittee. If there are new matters that are coming from the parties, then we look at the clauses, take last time to the Rules Committee. In my view, by the end of June, we should have finalized the rules and adopted. We shouldn't continue forever. Just give some parties enough time in May. I think May is sufficient for parties to organize workshops and have discussion and then come back to us. And I think the Rules Committee really must propose that process. Propose a process for them and then we conclude it. And I think we have been given sufficient time. All parties have given sufficient time and the parents send them the big patient. I did a source document on parties, all members of parliament. Surely all members of parliament they do have a problem. They must have a problem and come back to us. We know that not every party will have the capacity to work it out. But the staff of parliament is here. They go to the smaller parties. They convene themselves in their workshop park and then the staff can go there, explain everything to them. I think it must be creative really. But the intention is to ensure that every member of parliament has this. There's a view of what the rules are all about. And, parliament is a full country, it's not a church. And then therefore we are managing the issues. Then we should do that way. And then I know that's what we're going to do, but I think the support team is going to assist us then to design a process. And then the rules committee, if it's head of all that, then we have adopt it. That is a process it was. I think the speaker is correct that must analyze it. We shouldn't have something until 2019. We have not finalized the rules that have been required, so something will be right. We should finalize it. We know that there is a very detailed, tedious process, very difficult issue. I think it doesn't matter the art now of how we understand the world. And then they're very helpful. Many passages have made a submission. And then we are dealing with them chapter 10 to 11 and 12, start of that. And then we can move on to that. Yes. Of course, it's an apology to Mr. Xi. He's in a position of submission.
I just wanted to raise this matter. Not that ourselves here may not be committed, but that simply to ensure that the Sakansi sends an issue to the political parties. Because this particular question about the finish issue, it is actually going to come through the budget process. He just actually going to throw us into this area. And it's only a high level commitment that we should have very, very committed and the reason of people that comes and deal with. Otherwise, we will maybe each of us, you know, the budget process is really serious and involved. And we just need to be conscious about that and make sure that we still manage to see.
I'm listening to the background that you've given about the process moving forward. Obviously, we are very happy with the idea that we must accelerate, we must be committed, and all these things. But I think as the committee is aware, this is my first attendance to the committee. And the last time we interacted in a collective with the rules was in the rules committee. And on the issues that we raised there that were discussed here, so if we flow the conversation to only be limited to 10 to 15, I think that might be a bit unfair on our part. But we really had three things that were fundamental differences with regard to, I think, chapter 5. So, we of the mission, I think that would really want an opportunity to go through these issues. Unless, of course, I'm not aware, but we promise that we'll get this opportunity in the sub control.
That the ESF is not committed to this process.
When we inquired about how the community meets and how that is communicated, we were told that communication is through SMS. And the reason why, firstly, we're not in a meeting, we could not find the venue, we did not have a personal contact with anyone. And I'm sure that the secretariat must have informed yourself, Chairperson, that we have been interested in funding the schedule of these meetings. It's a very difficult committee, it's a subcommittee. The last destination we received, it's not because we're not committed, we're here, and I think that impression must not be created, at least on the part of the EFF that we're not committed. We're going to be here the whole time of this week. We're just requesting that really there are issues that we're dealing, and the rules committee is simply to keep them here. And if you have an opportunity to voice them here, I don't know, maybe we must protest the entire government.
No, my opinion is that you must take our chapter. We'll have time really to explain like some of the issues that are sending you that we refer to us by the host committee. And then I think we should do that
No, no, Chair, I was going to say both what the Honourable George says, what Natasha says, is part of what we are saying in the spirit that we should continue to try to encourage and make sure that everybody is part of the process. Because we take them very seriously. We want to make sure by the time they go into the house, we've been able to negotiate and find some agreement amongst ourselves. By the time we arrive at the Rules Committee, we would always want to make sure that the broader consultation with parties have been able to achieve what fundamental, what here you've got all the time explained to us, your own understanding of the different points that are made in the rules. So that by the time we finish, we are all considered every person, every member of parliament who's mandated to come here, have had an opportunity to explain their point of view. And we've been trying to make sure that everyone is understood and even differ where we differ and put that aside. But what the Rules Committee also did was that you seem to see this forum is more better than the broader Rules Committee. Let's work out every detail out here. If we are disagreeable, we'll then tell each other this one. Well, let's better go the rules and let's go deeper there. But at the end of the day, the spirit of what the chair I'm trying to say, which is an encouraging spirit, is to allow every member of parliament and every party to participate as much as we can to try to resolve the differences. As well as make sure that we put aside our constituency period and just come here and be able to reach some agreement. So the opportunity with negotiation with the chair was to be worked out when you resubmit your position so that you can start debating them thoroughly and make everybody happy.
Okay, now we can move now and deal with chapter 10. I think the ANC presentation and I think let us go for first chapter 10. For the background of chapter 10, the policy for chapter 10, and then we go to presentation by parties, and then we move.
Okay, chapter 10 is one of the key chapters in terms of parliamentary functioning and holding the executive accountable by way of questions to the executive. The previous experience members are all familiar with, and there were concerns about the way in which questions were dealt with. Amongst other things, not enough opportunities for questions to a particular minister in the course of a year. And on a question day, there were not enough opportunities to get through all the questions that had been directed at a particular minister. But those are some of the concerns. And another one was that the amount, length of time that replies to questions stand over has been a problem, lengthy standing over periods. And all of those things have, I think, been addressed in the new draft. And I'll just run you briefly through the new proposal, starting with questions to ministers. The first significant change is that members may now put a question on any working day. They're not limited to certain days. They can submit a question on any working day, including constituency periods. And a question for oral reply may not have more than two subdivisions, that was previously five. The idea is that the question should be focused, it should be more of a political nature than a statistical nature, and it will also allow the ministers to have replies ready more quickly. The next period for questions proposal was to reduce that from 6 to 3 working days to make it more actual. The proposal is further that question time on any question day, the question time is to be increased from 2 hours to 3 hours, which is also a significant change. There's a new procedure for urgent questions, and then importantly in Rule 107, capital B is a new rule, which proposes that the Speaker must, in consultation with the Rules Committee, set up a system to monitor replies to questions, both in respect of questions for oral reply and those for written reply. So there's a proposal there to set up a system to ensure effective monitoring, which the Rules Committee will be engaged with. Specifically looking at questions to the Presidency, the current position is that the Deputy President takes questions every second week, and that the time for questions to the Deputy President is part of the 2 hours for ministers as well. And that's been changed to the proposal is now that it be once a month, but that it be separate question time for the Deputy President, not included in the minister's question time. And secondly, that the Deputy President, recognised in the Constitution, has a supporting role to the President, and their questions to the President, or to the Deputy President, should be the same as those to the President. Any matters of national or international importance can be covered by questions to the Deputy President as well. The specific guidelines as to what is appropriate as questions to the Presidency must be determined by the Rules Committee. They are currently in place. They're currently being used by the Speaker's office to, and they are, I think you'll find, are broadly readable. They have to be, you know, questions to line function ministers should not be put to the President in the first instance and so on. So questions to the Deputy President once a month, excluding the month in which the President in person asks questions. The questions to the President in person remain the same once per quarter during a year. Oh, by the way, yes, the questions to the Deputy President will also increase from 4 to 6. And so it's 3 hours for questions to the Deputy President every once a month. And then questions to the President, the proposal is also to reduce the period of the notice period to 5 working days, which is a reduction from what it was previously. Again, to make the questions more actual. And then for replies to questions to the President and Deputy President, there should be no limitation on the time. So those broadly are the proposals.
Okay, no proposals, and as we go into the, we must then go for rule by rule in terms of questions. 107 notice and placing of questions. And just to ensure that we follow the rules of that becomes us a lot often than the other colleagues out of us. And is there any point that you want to raise on 107 notice and placing of questions? And then Natasha, you want to think about?
Yeah, I just wanted to check because I heard you right at the beginning saying that you've seen the proposal for the AFP. Is there any other proposal from the other party that is not attending now? Because we like the comments are
not. We're not seeing other comments, but members will talk and they will move in terms of group by group. The AFP also proposal is going to be made as we move group by group. Just to ensure that we take every college and then in the manner. And then this one is about broader accountability of the legislative department. And this is a mechanism of supporting the legislative accountability. And then all part of the legislative level is affected. That the legislature must be held accountable by parliament. And therefore, it's a healthy mechanism to assist us. Can we move to 107? 107-1, any points? AMG, any points? EFF, any points? 172. Any point? AAC? AA from CFF? CAAP? CFF?
Yes, please? I'm just going to take from here and question the confirmation. The electronic copy of notice, which has been accompanied by the electronic signature, I think that's a very good move because we've had in the past where you couldn't get the original signature.
Hassan is not the Secretary of Parliament requesting goods, it must go straight to the Speaker. So that the Secretary of Parliament throughout wanted to be known that he is more subjective to the work of the Speaker. He doesn't stand on his own. What then used to happen that the Secretary of Parliament would start receiving this thing, start writing to members and telling members what to do without the mandate of the Speaker. So if you see from the AC point of view, you're emphasizing the Speaker as the center. The rest are functionaries. I'll be subject to what the Speaker acknowledge and decide.
Okay. There's a note pointing in, I think that's what we understand.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Can we move to 2.173, person deliver to the Speaker before that? Are we fine with that? And let's move, there's notes there by the NC, Japan on the next, Japa.
Can I just ask something on 173? I'm not sure, I'm just saying if there's been included that questions can now be submitted on any working day.
Right.
Now, the rule 173 has been there for quite a long time already. I'm not sure what it's going to mean if questions are submitted on any working day, because currently the practice is that even though it's submitted on any working day, usually there's only a cut-off point for written questions and you get the questions follow reply determines on when the programming committee are scheduled and all the question day. That determines then the notice period and then working backwards to the deadline. So I'm just stopping here on
that.
Sure. Chair, when we discussed this last time, actually it meant that also during recess period you could shut that. So I don't think it was ever intended that this would change. It was just the issue of, you know, when Parliament is in sitting, who could post questions and we wanted to expand it to any period. That's the only difference. So clearly the cut-off day for inclusion in internal questions like that would remain. Also when there is a specific program for the different ministerial clusters, that would also not be affected because that would open on a particular day. That was our understanding. That's the only thing that we wanted to do.
My question to you, Chair, to Mr. Flackey, I hear your concern about the deadline or the text that I've given. Is there something like a question bank that even though you're putting the question in and it's not due to be answered at that time, that it banks and then that cluster comes up, it's the other time in the order in which it's received?
Yes, what normally happens is that some members may submit three questions in terms of questions written in town, which is the quota for a week for questions for a member. Every week a member submitted three questions for written reply. What happens then is, say for example, one of the members' questions gets split because it contains two different ideas. Then there will be four questions to that member, and then the fourth one will go into the bank. So you would always have a bank in question, etc. So when the next week comes, that question will then be onto the paper. So in that sense, we have a bank. Problem is, however, submitting questions for a oral question that has not yet been scheduled by the programming committee, a bit problematic in the sense, I mean, similarly to when you request for a snapback, for example, it is normally established that those are done during sitting days of the house. Now, when you submit a question for oral reply way before an oral date has been scheduled for a particular cluster, question may go lost unless you ask us to now put in place a system to also manage that bank and say this is for that cluster, etc. I mean, we can do it.
Well, I got that.
The mechanism should be established. One, the principle of the rules is that such a the staff and officers must work out on the mechanism of making it work. And then, because we wouldn't wait for mechanism before we take a principal decision. The principal decision is that questions must be put to the clergy any day of the week, put it there, but working days, they're not about working days there. And then these working days, and the guys are there to work it out. But in the exercise of plastic, one way or another, we have to change the system to accommodate the new area of life. But the one really is hard, I guess, not populating that room already. And I think the bank of question, as I said, is there already to put everything there. And you can look which clutter is coming, no problem, come much far. And then clutter is coming, and then we take it from there and move to that. Then take on a report and take it on a size and check. I know the fact they're supposed to be a first one. And then we take those.
Yeah, no, it's good.
No, but the explanation, because in terms of the previous phrasing of this rule, there is a substantial sort of difference, and that is the last entrance of the new amendment. And I just wanted an explanation why the inclusion of unless in a particular case the speaker directs someone.
That's on three.
Yeah, it's 103, isn't it? Yeah. Well, 103.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want an explanation because that changes the request. Well, if you just want to amplify the previous ruling, you shouldn't include that last sentence.
Didn't get mentioned.
There's no harm to change it.
With this bank that Mr. Fati suggested, may I make a suggestion that what would be quite nice is if we had something, maybe an electronic program that MPs could log on themselves, but maybe a research member could log on and actually see personal copy what questions had reached, you know, if they've been separated, so we could see per member had any questions been banked and what questions had been banked. Because what happens, and I know especially from the DA side, we submit an extraordinarily large amount of questions. And then sometimes you go, hold on, was that question being not answered because there were three and it separated into four? So perhaps if we had some electronic bank that it wouldn't actually be every MP, I don't think it's every MP that it would take ages to put their kind of system together. But maybe like the head research for each of the political parties could have access to that bank so that we could see what questions have been there when the system is put into place.
Machine?
Yeah, so I also wanted to talk to this question of question bank. Because if in most cases certain questions are asked while the particular issue is in the public debate. Now, my problem is when the question is banned and then it loses time, it's now irrelevant. Then what happens? Because I was of the opinion that a problem you must craft in a manner that when the question is not actually gone on the paper, then they must attend the class so that it doesn't lose time. And then if there are numbers of questions that have been provided, for oral class, then you leave. You may think about a question that relates to a matter that is in public debate and then it is not put in, and that problem which the question was based on gets resolved. Then now the question time comes to 4 weeks down the line, and commission is still opting on the question paper, that is irrelevant. And the system does not be able to talk to that anymore. That's why I'm just really trying to ask us to look at it generally. You know, whether we come to the DNA stage, no questions that are not going on. Unless otherwise we have the right to see the genetic prepared some sort of a written plan in time that we talk to, it becomes relevant.
Yes. Not as a chair. It was a good thing done by the person who initiated the question. Honorable, that we should have in principle an agreement in group that it's written that there is very good questions. And then we start dealing with the details of how do you handle that process itself. You see, because at the end of the day, it's not yet in the rules. What Plagi is saying is indicating what his practice is there. But I thought that the question then became to us that let's agree that we would have bank questions and how bank questions are being answered. We could reflect on what Masisa said and what our honorable members are suggesting. But the principle is let's have the process of accepting that there will be bank questions. And bank questions will accommodate whenever the relevance of the question or not the relevance. But we'll also be allowing the parties that have submitted their own state responsibility of taking off the question at the right time, not just by any other person. Because you might say that the question is from the minister's point of view has been addressed, but from the member who has proposed the question, who still feels that there's a lot of relevance to the question. It's only when they are certified can the question be removed. But in the rules, let's accommodate for any question. That's what I wanted to suggest and to really capture and agree on some questions.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement, but I thought that there is a provision about the agency of questions, and I'm sure we'll come to it if you want to bank that argument for that provision. And I wonder if also that is the right platform to give the voice of questions. I think that we probably want to integrate it in how we frame questions that are urgent and how they should be submitted in relation. So I would propose that we also do that integration of the thinking phase. Now, I want to emphasize that the rule as proposed is changing the meaning, and we probably want to leave the rule as it was. Unless I can get an explanation of what did the proposal have in mind about, unless in a particular case they speak direct otherwise. So you leave it too open-ended. And I'm not sure that we want to trouble ourselves with that provision to create a lot of problems.
Let me take large and
Mr. Chair, in response to Mr. Gordy's concern, the insertion of unless the speaker directs otherwise, because currently the reference is to on any working day. Now, this period was not, or constituency period, perhaps not be considered to be a working day, or would it be also your public holiday? So if the speaker directs that within a particular constituency period, question that is put, I think it is probably for that reason that we have that direction of the speaker included, and not for any other sort of
success. Maybe I should just respond to that intuition of the speaker first. I think the idea was to allow some flexibility. You know, the 12 o'clock cut off point is very tight. If the speaker receives a question at 1 o'clock, an hour later, and there's some genuine reason why there's an hour's delay, the speaker can waive that requirement. So I think it's to allow some flexibility where possible. Obviously, if it goes totally against the rules, the speaker cannot allow it. But that's a flexibility issue. But if I can just come to the banking issue as well, I just wanted to get some clarity on the process that's proposed. Before a day is set for questions to the Minister of Home Affairs, members can already submit questions. The day has not yet been set, so the questions office receives them and puts them on hold. Banks, if you like. And then once the question day is determined, former Minister of Home Affairs, then they all come out of the bank and the place on the question paper. So that, as I understand it, would be the vetting process. If at that point already that question is on sale, it's the member is entitled at any point before question day to withdraw the question, am I correct? So that responsibility rests with the member concerned, or that member's copy, the member's copy work or whatever. So if that's the case, then I don't know, do we need anything in the rules about banking?
We do not need to include that in the rules. I mean, that is sort of, not necessary for rules, practice. To also, once again, to respond, Mr. Dodi, raised issue of a question that becomes irrelevant to be an urgent question, and this will answer Mr. Sirius content in this regard. That, I mean, if a member's question goes into the bank and the question doesn't get in the paper, the member may request for a question to come in an urgent question, and that process can then be engaged in. But also, with regard to the electronic program suggested by Ms. Michael, it is so that we have a very close working relationship with the research staff and the political parties, and that, I think, works well at the moment. We can tweak it a bit, considering what comes out of this process, and sort of streamline it so that it works more effectively at the start at the moment.
Let me take those CDM first, those with Paul. Young Paul wanted to make a point. Michelle wanted to make a point.
Okay.
Get us this. See? Want to ask this?
Thank you. I just want to ask Mr. Michael something. I just want to ask, if we're talking about electronic interface, is it perhaps possible that we could have an electronic system where also the answer block has, so that you don't pose questions, this is still going on, there's a response by the minister, and that could be accessible for us to view the answer so that you could pose a follow-up on the response or whatever. I think we have that sort of interface with the answer by the executive, and that would also make our parliament much more interactive. So is that possible? I know there are some of the African parliaments that already have that. I was just trying to quickly look, but I would actually very request that you could follow that, and that you could have a very sort of a feeling of it's real right now in real time. Otherwise you lose the response and the reply time, etc., the documents. And I haven't complained, but I have stressed in the past that very often you have to go through a lot of emails to actually find your reply. If you have that and there is a sort of an order, then obviously it would be very much easier to actually have that.
Very quickly, because I want to go to the I don't think you want to give this flexibility to me. And you want to just full stop after 24 hours. And then the question of agency must be the one that we use to consider the conditions of flexibility. Phrased this way, it doesn't only open the question of flexibility, it opens also for an abuse you probably don't want. So you want to put a full stop, and then when questions are urgent, there is a provision for the agency of questions and so on and so forth, and members must motivate, because if the questions have been determined, then because the speaker thinks it's a genuine question, purely because the speaker thinks the genuine question is submitted at itself, the rule allows it, and the rule is that she may as well defend everything. So we must, I propose, put a full stop after 24 hours. We want to keep the speaker not doing too much conflict. Even if there is, the condition for us to always find or him in the future.
Chair, I don't think there's an issue with that one, because we have agreed with the overall proposal that is wherever it is, not the secretary speaker. So centrally, any other thing, any development related to question, either the speaker must be the one that comes. So that would be a repetitive approach. I don't have the problem with that one of the closing issues. Just can let one but everything, every state, it can even come up in regionship, it can still attend at that level. But the speaker is one that is in control.
Now, they may have more than the 4 dozen in there being urgent questions and there being current questions. But when you cut some of them and then you put them in the bank, and then because of the invasion of the public, some of those things that are coming off may become relevant. That's what I'm talking to. I'm not talking to an issue where honorable members are raising that there is a provision for urgent questions to come. Any urgent question that the agent decides that they must come in may choose another agent question to get out also the number of questions they can put at that given time. But all that I'm saying is when the question cannot get into the oral thing, the question is legal. When it is current, and then when it has to come on the oral thing, because it doesn't come in and the member that wrote that question does not ask for it to be removed. But because it's in the bank, it will automatically come in. Whereas it is not irrelevant, then what is the situation? That's what our job has to propose on the fly.
Okay.
Perhaps Michael can help me. Yeah, my understanding is that when once you've got the full number of questions allowed to a particular minister from a particular member on any question day, any additional questions become written questions. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Automatically. So that once that bank is full, for a particular party and a particular member or a particular minister, any other questions going to automatically go for written.
Okay.
So you're not going to sit with a bank of questions that become stale.
The magic explain how that process is. Every member has 2 questions per question they do a particular minister. Now every minister takes up to a maximum of 10 questions in terms of the rule. Now what happens on a Wednesday after the question paper appears in the oral questions? Then members have, or parties have an opportunity to prioritize these questions. Now in that prioritization process that follows the sequence of Rule 1089, what eventually happens is that if 10 questions have been reached to the Minister of Police, and the other 11, 12, 13 questions automatically in terms of 1088 becomes a question for written reply. And so those questions don't go into the bank, but the questions that do go into the bank is, for example, every member has 2 questions for question day to a minister, but a second question of the member gets split perhaps, or the member perhaps had another question previously in the bank that now comes up but submit another 2 because they are very prolific question around this town party who floods the questions office with a whole lot of questions that, and that range is huge. So the problem is the member will only get 2 questions on question paper in any case, and if those questions are not reached at the end, if the paper then contains, is prioritized, and if the second question of the member becomes the 11th question, then that 11th question becomes question for written reply. And any other questions that a member submit may fall along the way because if he submits more than 2 questions, then only the first and second question gets published. And only those questions get prioritized for the way.
When it takes me, those are all my children.
I think that it becomes relevant. If that's the explanation, I'm not so much that thing. Maybe we should just leave that thing altogether. I'm getting very confused. Looks like it sounds like a very good convention, so that can to be in practice, but as the Honorable Janice was proposing, we shouldn't integrate it into the rules. I think let's leave it. That would be my proposal. I'm sorry. I was hearing 2 different meaning of the square to the bank.
Well, I thought that you said that the bank is the staff mechanism to manage the person.
Yeah.
It's not a rumor. And then I think we've adopted into the rules. I think on the rules, the point that is raised that we just stop at 24 hours. That is the point that was raised here. And Yanni Boy says there's no harm in doing that. And therefore, whatever the speaker decides in terms of policy creation to be a rule that this is, I think we should do so. But the bank is today, but that's to assist us with a polite friend. How is it going to work in practice? But not the rule issue. Then the staff will work out in a manner that will be consistent with the rule. That's what this has to do, the oversight function that we're supposed to do. And I think we should do that, and I don't think we should really delay on this human on the banking issue. Those who got some ideas, they can link up with places to discuss how the things should be improved. Those who want to nationalize it, they can go and nationalize it. I got this question there, and then I think we should do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you see what I'm saying, for instance, some few diseases, is that we are agreeing that now the patients now can depend on any day, on any working day. It is no longer now reserved for an opening where patients for a particular cluster now are being asked and the deadline is given, and then you put in there the patients for that specific day. Now, at any time, the patients can come in. Then that's where now my understanding that the bank becomes something of significance. Because the patients will come in, then will be stored, and then when that particular question time comes, then those questions will come up. But now the current system that says those questions now that comes in, if they are not, then they go to oral reply, which is what I was actually asking. But then there was an understanding that no, we put in the bank, and then when the day decided on the oral reply, they then those questions now will come to the question paper. And now the question is given those from the quarter or two. And already at that time, over the period when you have been questions, now you've got five or seven of them alone. What happens? Then that is now the question that arises. So even if you can prioritize within the ESL, you prioritize the questions of that minister, you find that you've got 11 of them. And the seven of them are all high priority and current, but you can only get three. Then it creates a problem when they get an answer for those questions which are current, but they have not made it to the question paper. That's what I was actually trying to raise, is that the whole banking system now has to be the problem. Which questions will then go for oral, for recent reply so that they don't need the time? And then how does the member sort it out and say, my question now comes out or it must go for different reply. That's why I think that is too much administrative other than being the rules. But it needs to be entertaining because now I say, questions can come at any time. Then it creates a bank. And now the bank will then have to properly manage. So that, you know, people don't just have their questions disappearing or we just don't use the questions that are irrelevant.
I think the commissioner's problem is probably not the bank, but the on any working day, which can create this problem of, you know, members of the questions on any working day, but the questions, because there's no question day or there's no written paper being published, those questions go into a bank. And then they lose their relevance to some extent. Now, part of the problem is that 1073 comes from the previous rules on questions from the previous parliament, not the previous parliament, but from the previous dispensation before 94. And so we have never really looked at these rules in terms of what do they actually mean or say. We have retouches, we can just adapt to them for us, but not really looking at, you know, what particularly do these rules say. And so I think that is Mr. Machine's problem, not so much the banks,
as the wider rule reads at the moment? Because what does it mean if a member can submit a question on any question then?
If I may come in, Chair, is this not something that you have to sit them out for? In other words, the members can submit a question on any day for any minister, and no day has yet been determined when the Minister of Home Affairs is next going to answer questions. So the members who very early on already submit questions, long before a date had been set for Minister of Home Affairs, those questions, presumably, Michael, would not be published on any question paper. They should be available electronically, so that members can see Minister of Home Affairs, there's already 5 questions there, no date set yet. The moment the date is set, all those questions get placed on the question paper. And then the relevant member can, or party can determine which questions from the party are going to be prioritized. So it may actually be not a good idea on part of members generally to submit questions willy-nilly at all times throughout the year on any working day, regardless of when the question day for a particular minister is going to come. But to the extent that you do receive such questions out of the blue, it would be available electronically for all members and all parties to see if a question has already been received from this minister. Would that work, Michael, or is there a problem?
It will make more sense if a member knows that the question they have is scheduled and then submits the relevant question. But I do not see the point of questions being submitted. We can keep it in the bank and we can create that option. But it's then going to lose its relevance perhaps until the program committee eventually decides that we schedule a question day on the day. So we can create rank. We have already running such a system. We can fine-tune it, streamline it. But members will know that I mean, if you submit a question way in advance, it may be
yeah.
See, the more my the whole change problem is more effective. The authority doesn't have to rest with you, mate, to decide about the question of the member. You just have to decide with the party that they have put in that particular question. Because the more you see, when you say it's right or it's just loose, it's momentum, you must remove it. That authority can be yours. It has to be either of the member or of the party or the speaker. That's where the element of. Like you say, it's part of what you practice at your degree. But for me, the respect to members is very much important. The one that they put forward the question to be always to be maintained so that they don't become the ones that suffer because you have come to a particular conclusion about that particular question.
No, the problem actually is the problem that you're saying.
Yeah.
If you read it properly, it says in terms of having two. So part of the responsibility of submitting a question is to indicate on which day
that
it must be
put.
So you can't just ask a question, you have to ask a question and say on which day it must be put. And that must collaborate with the announcement of which minister is going to answer on which day. So as a result, you must read those rules in collaboration. That is why I insisted earlier on that presidential question is not really a rule question. So if you read them collaboratively, your problem is solved. Unless the honorable machine wants to expand. It's just
it's clear.
When you put the question, the rule says you must say on which day it must be put. You can't say on which day it must be put unless that here is in the mouth. So that's how the rules are. They were, and that's how they came back. The only problem is that to remove that sentence.
Well, I thought that's why I'm going to persuade that.
Yes.
That anyway, the speaker always decides when to put things, it shouldn't really be an issue. So, generally, remember the two questions, the bank and the staff, they just leave to the staff to work it out. It's not a whole issue. Okay. It's not a whole issue. It's an administrative issue, the mechanism that will work out. The date is announced, member of the plan question. But the point about that, that I think that was addressing, that member electronic anyway, to see which person I put. And the bank is there, the researchers, they always meet with you, mic check, you work with them. Surely after the rules, you are going to workshop them. should all these research out. Even the those one, I think will be a fair work from them. Just because that system works, no man by the student kind of put in question. And then I think we should do that. I think four is fine. Four, I think is high. I don't think there's an issue with four. The one of 7-4? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
It is only when we look at sub 4 if we also look at sub 6 where there's reference to the facets. Now, there were guidelines, general guidelines, applicable to questions for paper. They are part of our guideline book. The issue now is, should we not make provision for subject to these rules and guidelines as approved by the rules committee? I don't want to raise the issue right now, but in the course of 107, I think we should address that. Because there has been a practice, and I see honourable lawyers now sort of having a difficulty, but you see, when you look at the practice that has been adopted, certain things are not fine. For instance, when you mention names of people, etc., they're always removed. And that has been done over years, and it's a practice that exists in other parliaments as well. So there may be the time to come for us to adopt, in some standard matter, the guidelines through the rules, so that we're all part of that, and we don't feel that the officials are in fact adjusting and editing the questions. So that is why I'm in reference to sub 4, where it says subject to these rules and guidelines. Approved by the rules committee or whatever.
You want us to add the guidelines?
I think we should look at that. Because if we go down to 6, it makes reference to against the practice. And what is the practice? The practice can be adopted, but it must be guidelines that is applicable across the board for your members.
Okay, so I don't know the those guidelines. Maybe one should, they should be part of the assessment. I don't know if they're here. I did not get. So it will be very difficult for me to check this thing too. Because I opened the problem with a sheet, one is a fact sheet, and so on and so forth. Because we must click the rule, in my view, to serve and empower. Our capacity, at least in this context, to hold the individual for consciousness as much as possible. They should be able to strengthen that process. And therefore, I'm careful. I wouldn't agree as yet until I've seen the guidance. I don't know if you're allowing me to reach the
question. No, I want us to fall.
Yeah, so that's my...
let's
not include them, because we don't know...
But that's really what you're saying, that is for you to say that. The rules, particular rules and guidelines. Those guidelines must be worked out by the rules committee. They are not there at the moment in terms of what you are proposing. But the team here must sit down with the rules committee and they should look at the guidelines. Once those guidelines, all of us are here with them, then they are part of the area that is going to use. I think that's what we're proposing.
Exactly.
We're not proposing the existing one. Because it's not existing guidelines to that area that we are raising now. I thought that was one that you were raising. Then once those guidelines you have developed yourself, you look at them and you cover on the fear that they are raising this thing. I think we find it to do that.
So how are we concluding, Shell? We are including the guidelines that we don't know.
The guidelines, the guidelines, the missing provision for guidelines, but guidelines must be agreed
by the rules committee. It should mean that this team also may make proposals, those proposals are referred to the rules committee as this. Of course, on the guidelines, then you then sort of reset that. And we don't undermine the process of holding the relationship to account.
No, I think let's make a note. Let's not amend the rules to include guidelines. Let's make a note, because we're going to finish the rules and then they will be applicable and there won't be guidelines. Guidelines might come. So let's put it like in the note there, so that it appears that there are guidelines that should generally be consulted in terms of the application of these rules. I wouldn't be comfortable with it being there, because very soon these rules are going to come into function and probably there won't be guidelines again. So I would propose that we put it in the note.
Okay, the guidelines, we'll note them, but they're very important, I think.
One was there.
What's the concern?
Any issue there? Yeah. Finish, finish, ask you.
No, okay, I think that's not to this man. You know, even if when we are pushing a particular act, and if we know that we don't want to make the policy bulk, we do make a provision where you say this ought to be done in accordance with the prescribed blah blah, and expecting that that will be prescribed and the act may be approved. But then there is that particular process now to develop some sort of prescription how certain things should be done. Because if you don't do that, the day when you come and do this guidance, then you must come and abandon this rule again.
Yeah.
And whereas you are clear that there would be guidelines that must be developed how to execute this particular thing. And then we must make a provision for those guidelines to be actually developed. So that we are able, when the guidelines are developed, they will be developed in terms of a particular rule that is already in there. Otherwise, there is nothing that will be there. Those guidelines then must be developed. And then we will share out here the thing that people agree. Like, I mean, we talked about the dress code. We know that there is something that must be developed on the dress code. But you can't bring the whole two, three chapters into the book. Then it will be saying that it's in accordance with an agreed or prescribed or whatever dress code. Then that must be developed, then it comes as a class in terms of that particular book. So that's what I just wanted the Honourable to understand. What is it that we are trying to say? We have identified that there must be guidelines, or there must be some sort of a practice one there. Then we must work on so that they determine how that particular thing is. Then they will not provide. Otherwise, we'll keep on amending the rules and little everything that we know that's going to happen comes up. Why do we move the purposes right up front?
Boy?
You know, philosophically, that's why I resist this question. I'm not agreement that there should be a set of documents called guidelines. So I still need convincing, and I haven't heard the argument, for why you need to supplement the rules with guidelines. And as a result, that guidelines, the relationship between that document and the rules is that they will apply as the rules do. So the hierarchy of laws there and everything, it seems to me that unless the committee has already had that conversation, I've not heard the arguments for what's going to be the juridical difference between a guideline and a rule in terms of applicability, such that you could say subject to a guideline. You get what I mean? So I think we still need to exhaust ourselves around this thing. So that's why I think I'm comfortable with it as a note, because generally guidelines are supposed to be as subject as rules are. So I'm not convinced in that sense. I'm not sure what we get to.
Just an initial response. The idea of guidelines is it's levels of detail that you don't want to work into the rules. That you can have a lot of detail that you're not going to put in. It's the same with regulations in terms of a law. The minister may make regulations to put certain medicines in category A or category B and may be sold over the counter or may not be sold, etc. And those can change. So that kind of detail you don't normally put into the rule or into a law. Secondly, the opportunity to amend guidelines as practice changes, as new requirements come forward, as members start complaining about certain things. You can adjust those guidelines quite easily in the Rules Committee without having to go rule amendments, House approval, etc. So that ability to adjust that level of detail without going through a rule process. Those would be the two strong reasons for going for guidelines. And just thirdly, it's to say subject to these rules and any guidelines that may be approved by the Rules Committee, rather than specify they must approve guidelines that may be approved by the Rules Committee. Maybe it's possible.
Chairperson, I just want to say that how can they be such a very successfully integrated the practice of guidelines into the rules as part of the rules? And we may want to look at that and do the same, because it works very effectively. I think Michael's the last comment is very useful. I think part of the challenge that Lord is raising is that part of what this committee has been doing is looking at past practice and incorporating those practices into the rules. So part of identifying what guidelines and practices should be in the rules to create that certainty and create that. One of the problems is that if you say that there are no guidelines, then these rules have to be implemented. Our guidelines, suddenly the church office will have no guidelines, will have no practice to fall back on. We have been doing that in the past 20 odd, perhaps longer years. So you have to allow for some kind of convention to fall back on. So you have to, I think, look at what are the current guidelines, what are the current practices. We use the practices here in front of the council and see which of the standards incorporate into them. So I think we've done that. In previous articles, we didn't practice to do that.
No, as I was finding it, that's the approach I'm most comfortable with. That's the approach that will save us a lot of hassle. It's to integrate, it's to make our rules as workable as possible without too many supplemental requirements. Instead of doing something, let me give the guidelines some sense, but I was going to ask, what is in terms of this rule, because the way which it's stated here, I'm not sure what you would want the guidelines to set out on this rule. It seems so clear to me, as it is now, because it refers to, you know, other rules, 108, section 7, blah, blah. It's so clear. I'm not sure what a guideline would, you know, in a sense. I wanted to understand that, but if we are following the philosophical approach of the speaker just before me, then I think we must try as much as possible to integrate what you have in mind when you are invoking guidelines into the rule. If we can't do that, then we can settle on the guideline. But I think the spirit must definitely be to make them as clearly as possibly workable within the rules themselves.
What happened? Citizen Rose, you are persuaded by Karen now. Karen. I think it's persuaded, you know, on that. But
the point, no. Even if we can do the whole thing way my best, put every guideline here. I think there will be guidelines that have developed over here. No one can be the rules, but must be simplified such a way that I'm doing. Is that you need guidelines, you need to put everything. Because the staff of parliament must have guidelines that they rely on in terms of questions, in terms of many things. Without guidelines that are created by the rules committee, sometimes it's difficult for them to land. And then we put them in the crisis when they have to take decisions, when there are no guidelines to do. I thought guidelines are important broadly. In fact, I have guidelines already. Don't take a view that guidelines are necessary, but also must ensure that our rules are dictated, that they can be implemented. They should not be ambiguous, they must be very clear, we know they don't have care for many other interpretations. I think the point that is already, I think we should leave it that and then work it out and then you can then take more of what are the new issues there. I don't think that we should delay our meeting on the kind of issue. Yeah. I see that the age is amending its own view.
No, as Mr. Hendrik has indicated, the guidelines as maybe approved by the rules committee. So I think that covers us, because remember, and I think this is the disadvantage that Honourable Lawsley has addressed, is we've worked through the earlier chapters where we have dealt with the hierarchy of the rules, etc., and what the role of guidelines are, and the guidelines are actually there to create certainty for members. So that is pretty much an open process, and Mr. Hendrik said it's easier to adjust a guideline. Yeah, this is not workable. Let's change that.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I thought that was just a good correction. We were changing. We are very accommodating to Mr. Grozzi to bring on the honorable member, bring on board. And where you don't see clarity, you always see him in daily communication. Maybe bring up something new. That's my protection is the Afghanistan Commission in earlier stage. But we always are very accommodating. and also some non-attachable like this and that. What a quite good community.
Honorable boy, there is this admission, there are no guidelines.
Okay.
Yeah, I look.
I'm saying that the point that we are raising this matter is especially because you're meaning the rules must accommodate all parties as far as we can, but we must make the rules.
Yes,
sir. With the rules of the chamber, of the magic parties.
Yes, sir.
And therefore, this rule must assist every member of parliament.
Yes, sir.
The guidelines can assist us to do that, we should do so. I don't think it will be harmful for guidelines. I think those are fair.
No, that's
if you pass the rules, you have not seen the guidelines. I thought it covered the thing that the guidelines will be presented to the rules committee.
Yes.
They see once we agree on the guidelines issue, then we can then the rule will be applicable. But the rule will be there already, then we can move on that area. And so do I just make a point?
No, I'm saying, check, specifically, because if we resolve the guideline question now, I may not have to ask this at all.
Okay.
Well, the way which you have presented is that as we give you certain rules, there was a guideline, there was a... If there's a clause already in the beginning about guidelines, then you need not include it every time. Like, that is the principle I'm making, which was the point that he... I forget his name. That's the principle. In general, there's going to be a development of a detailed guideline to not just the rules, but a general guideline for the rules.
Yes.
And the extent to which this rule at the moment is clear, I like nothing we must defend is clarity now.
Yes.
And so when the guidelines come, they must then say, okay, on this one let's develop it, then let's develop it, everything at the same time. So you have a problem where people go and go become creative about something that does not need a guideline. Especially this rule doesn't need a guideline.
Of course, you know that there's a very thick document on guidelines of Parliament.
I don't know.
It's very important because I know that you are one of those who pose many questions. Point of order, all that guidelines to assist on that. The guidelines of this, the point that you are going to commend them and they are lost them. But the point that is made though is that in other areas, you might tell us, we could use those guidelines and make them the rules.
Yeah.
Where it's applicable. But the guidelines are still going to be there, because you can't put every guideline to the rules.
Sure.
But it would be very critical guidelines that you may find and put them in the rules.
Yeah.
I think that's the point that I think Michael will propose is very not to not different on that. Those are things you have with that.
Yeah.
It's important for you, those, because we have to find it somewhere in our rules. I think chapter one, and the personal guidelines.
Chapter one.
I think one. How you have other guidelines, I think it's very important the point that is raised. Because it was not privileged to have the guidelines. And that's why it's important for every party.
Maybe you know also
the party of the... No. I know that he's a very honest young man. Very honest young man.
Oh,
yeah.
Very honest
young man. He has got a lot
to do. Not for the operation.
I know.
Okay,
that's let's move for this. Let us give it 5. I think 5 is fine. 107, 5. No issue. Okay. Happy?
Can you speak of these rules?
You cannot speak of
these rules. Yeah, I just need the two things here, both in the old and the new. There's no amendment, no? As far as I could understand, but I thought that we want to get a sense of what is the rule trying to achieve before I laid my system. Just what is the purpose of the rule? I mean, taking everything that we have dealt with, I'm not sure. So, and let me put my question: what is the purpose of this rule? And taking consideration both the things that have done thus far and the ones that can't follow, it is still necessary.
The rule is meant to assist
processes.
The speaker has to approve questions. Questions that offend against the preface of the rules, if a question contains uncommentary language, for instance, it will disallow.
If the question is put to a minister who is not responsible for a particular issue, it will be disallowed and referred back to the ambassador. So it's not this minister, it's that minister. So there's a host of things, practical things, which the question office has to do. Members, if it is accepted, do not necessarily know the finer details. And the question office is there to assist members. I'm sure that Michael will agree with me. So and sometimes questions are received that are just scribbled on a piece of paper. Wants to know this from that minister. And then it turns out that first of all the questions office has to assist with the drafting of the question. Because the way you draft it is going to determine how much information you get. If you draft it very poorly, that's why it was good if so, when, if not, why not, that kind of stuff. It's to try and tie down the minister to prevent the minister from squeezed out through a sloppy question. So by tightening up the question, you assist the member to get the right answers. So that's what the question was trying to do by assisting. But then otherwise there are a host of different issues that would be, that would make the question unacceptable or problematic for various reasons. If you put too many subdivisions in your question, that wouldn't be allowed. Sure, Michael can give you a whole lot more examples where, so there's a vetting process, which is there to assist members. And that's six covers that vetting process.
Michael, the one that come into your experience. Don't forget that your experience is useful as you start business. Because you have already pointed the point of the helping approach on some of these strategies. Let me take this, you know? You want to make a point?
I first want to sit out in the thing.
Okay. Natasha?
Sure, I think one of our final states, which Michael will know this from the EA side, we never want a question changed to change the political meaning or the nuance or the subject. And I know, because I deal with Michael's office really closely, there's only ever been changed in terms of grammar, or in my case, for example, I want Michael very kindly phone it to me, because you put like 15 subsections to this question and there's no way it can be answered like this. Can you rather restructure it? So I think our safety net is in the note. It says, it will emphasize the ethical question she learned to make the grammar, language, and correction should not extend to political substance of the questions or political nuances. And what we do know, and it's been my experience with the question office, if there is going to be a substantial change to the question office doesn't change it. They refer it there to one of our researchers. Our researchers can sit with us and say, look, the question office says, this is the problem, how do we change it? So it's language and grammar that is changed, but the actual political substance. If there needs to be a change, there's a case that it gets referred back to the party and the party changes it and resubmits.
Let me check the closing.
Yeah, there are two meanings for this, according to the definition. The question is not talking, the rule is not talking to explanation of matters, of honorable matters. It's not. It talks about the first submission that you made. And so if there's a practice that people, you know, assist to the clarity of the question, and put in the notes, those notes must be what you put there. Every time it's not. I think that's exactly what we should improve in the way that we're expanding there. But the problem, I think, is if we want to assist the speaker and ourselves, I don't have to indicate to honorable members that there is a deep potential distrust on our part. So you still do the speaker all the time, it might be a problem. So if what you want to achieve are grammatical, it either goes to the guideline or the rule says that. At the moment, it doesn't say that. It says, if the notice of the question offends against the practice or this rule, the speaker may either amend the question or return it to the member who submitted it. We don't have to, we can rephrase to say what it says there in the notes, or just take it to the guidelines. Now the second part is, I'm in agreement, we can't allow unparliamentary language to be used in general. Whether it's an emotion without notice, a member statement, and so on and so forth, people should not use offensive language. If that's what we want to say, then we say that. At the moment, the rule, I think, is not appreciated.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that
honorable doses raised their party problem of having less trust.
I thought that one.
Yeah, because the rule here is accommodation, and the speakers and also that I don't think it is questionable, you know, since the administration of the National Assembly. And many of the people that are doing all this other work, they are doing, you know, it's on a thing, All what is being said is how they go through the process of the questions. They are doing on a name, and they must be accountable on that. And that is simply what is being said. And this particular thing here hasn't been explained. As we have seen many questions where a bracket is put in name given or name submitted, those kinds of editing of those particular questions, it's in this particular process, administrative process of money, this question on behalf of the speaker. And that's what all this rule is about. And as you have said, Natasha has indicated, there will never be an intent to change the question in terms of substance or political affairs. It will never be that. And at the end of the day, it is about the language that comes to that. And there is a reason, the practice that we should not put in certain names in the question. And then to ensure that particular practice is adhered to. Actually, to assist members of parliament that their questions are in order.
Yeah.
And then also that they will get the maximum response that is required. That is the assistance that this rule is about. And I really don't see what is the problem with that rule, because it's accommodating for 50% of us.
My master, your duty is to persuade every member to agree with you. Persuading other members, these are the things. Deal with the substance issues. Just persuade every member to understand what is that you are putting forward. Don't forget that what you are putting forward. And those were not there. Therefore, you must keep it nicely with him until he understood the logic why you are putting things forward. And because as you represent this party, it will be very helpful when you go back to his party or is able to explain the way they are saying it. Make it nice to them. I think we must be patient with them. Time is still on our side. June is far. Let us just ensure that we work in such a way that every member, when he goes, to explain is accepted by your logic and that. I think we should do that first. And it's a certain amendment is attending the rules themselves, you know. And therefore you must just bear it in mind. Now you're a permanent member. And take him through. Because what you want to achieve yourself is that when goes come to the AFL, you're able to persuade them. He says that's how the issue is
right now.
No, he's already providing leadership, and this is what he's going to be saying. I think it's important that we take that into consideration.
You know, from where we should be taking it very much into consideration. And I thought that from the start we've been very clear in our emphasis on writing the rules, because we feel that the EFF is around the corner, some words around. We'll be dealing with the review of rules over some time. And we want to enhance these rules to build a better future for Parliament itself. So whenever you talk about a speaker, we're not subjectively looking at your present relationship with the speaker. We're looking broadly at what would happen, what type of role would help us to enhance the image of Parliament and how we run Parliament. We'll be very clear that in the system of Parliament, we're being blameless if we can't run Parliament properly. So understand us very well that what we are suggesting and what we're talking about this book is about what we want to achieve overall, not the person herself. We can have a speaker, we can have speakers, but the point is the rules have to be here for a very long time and they should be able to enhance and build a better Parliament for all of us. That's all I wanted to emphasize.
Okay.
Okay,
actually, it was exactly because I anticipate a concern with regards to reference to the bracket that I was actually trying to introduce the guideline issue, but never did that. The fact is that I have absolute appreciation for what the Honourable George's position is. I have also come into Parliament in 2009 as a member of the opposition.
not understanding why things were done in a particular manner. It was also of some time that I understood that this is sort of being stream background, etc. And some of that was pretty during the period of the subcommittee on review of the actually it is unfair that there are bits and pieces of information from the members of the body. It should all be contained in the rules and it should be a transparent issue. And everybody must understand that if you write questions, this is how you do things and you don't do it like this, and this, these are practices, internet practices, etc. So I think what we could do at this stage is say, let us note the concern. I don't think there is a general concern, but perhaps we should look at this against the earlier proposal about having a transparent process of going through guidelines for questions. Because when you have an act, you often have the regulations dealing with the details. And this is actually the same that we're trying to establish. Let's note it. If Honourable Lord is comfortable with that, that it is not the speaker herself, but it is the office of the speaker which has this responsibility, which is executed by the questions office. And they're dealing with the guide to procedure that they've been following to show up. So I think until we both other guidelines as a parliament, let's stick to the practices, etc. But it is true that the Honourable Lordy should find quite a lot of answers in the document itself. So if with your permission we could proceed, and if we may proceed, I would like to make another submission on a new chapter that we want.
No, just to on the submission to or not to explain some of the issues. Not to when you oppose not paid, but it was noted that the same party was the football. That is your ANC proposal that you are putting for. That the rules should admit members and also the speaker to do their work. Consideration would be given to sharing parties to guidelines.
Yes, but that would actually be subcommittee recommendation.
No, but that's the point, that's the point. But the ANC is making it a proposal also.
Correct.
That we should be doing that. You cannot say parties, you say guidelines. Because guidelines are there, you can write them down. But there are also parties somewhere that you know, as you those were saying, that no one should really impart anyone in the chamber to the point that you say.
Correct.
And then, but because you want to make a point, in fact, you went further to say the current guidelines that are here in the National Assembly by the procedure to the rules calling for approval. However, it was agreed that the guidelines were to say, are too detailed to be included in the rules. Okay, let us take that.
Yeah. At some point I have to speak in very strong terms to the constant reminder of my newness in Parliament. Okay, I'm hoping that at some point it's not going to be kept mentioned. It's not very good. Now, I could say it in stronger terms, I'm sure you are aware of it, but I'm saying that I'm hoping that members
I remember in the house when you were called a young man, you went
to... Yeah, because I can call you old man and old women, not man. I mean, you know?
And then you went by that, actually.
Here's my point on the argument, is that I listened to the explanation, and I'm saying the explanation of what the rule is supposed to achieve is not clear. I'm not saying the rule should be away. If the rule wants to address the question of offensive language, that is what it should say. If the question wants to address the grammar, that you are offending a grammar. So because offense is too much. I'm not so much concerned with practice and all those things. If you read a sentence, practice and why are people on offense. If they offend the practice. So if you want to say, it's not consistent with the rules, it's not consistent with the guidelines, it's not that's what you should use, or if you want to talk to offensive language. Those are different terms, unfortunately, in the English language. I'm not being creative or anything. I'm saying that you want to say what you want the rules to achieve. So I would ask that it has to be amended, and the only amendment that I can think of for now is to change offense to contravene.
Because generally, in the guidelines, in the rules of debate and whatnot, we deal already with offensive language or unparliamentary language and whatnot. That is what that's the first part in terms of the explanation. But the second part is the speaker. What is the step? Question should not contravene guidelines. Period. I hear that why the speaker is put here is that generally we understand the speaker to be approving questions. According to Honorable Bashir's submission, I would submit to the Honorable Member, but that is not the case. Your questions don't get approved. We have the right to ask questions. If that's not a thing of the question, we have to fundamentally disagree. We have a problem. So I'm patient. Explain to me, is it about offensive language, grammar, and all those things? Then that's fine. It must say that the speaker must not allow a question to go on if it's not grammatically clear, if it uses offensive language, and so on and so forth. You don't even have to include the speaker. The question should not use offensive language. The question should not be in contravention with the guidelines and the rules. And that is, that if the speaker approves our question, you are evoking a different principle altogether, and I would request that we delete that thoroughly.
Chair, I can just confirm that the intention was always that this should be on technical grounds, on technical grounds.
In fact, that was enclosed here, so yes, that was the intention of it. Not the politics of the industry, food inclusion.
No.
But we wanted to deal with this matter. But I think we should clarify it further.
Yeah. And maybe I should just say that if the speaker were to attempt to try and amend the question, yes. It's an embarrassing question. The moment that happens, the member will have a strong argument to bring matters to the House and express serious concern about improper interference on the bond speaker.
The only spirit, honourable member, in the explanation that you can hear, because my understanding, I'm checking it as well, we can't say there is someone who approves questions, because that we ask questions is a given by our rights. That is the only thing I was trying to sense in how we understand the implementation, the practice of this rule. What the speaker is doing is guarding against offensive language in the interest of the rule. What the speaker is doing is guarding against the fact that it doesn't contravene rules. Not necessarily that, whether it's politics or what, I'm not interested, but the language of approval is the one that we should never use. That's all I'm saying.
No, thank you very much. Let us move then 107A, nothing more questions. Any point there?
Before you get that, there is on the document that was submitted an NC proposal with regards to including norms in the rules. That question to Minister Matthew shifted to Minister of National Line Function Responsibility. Now, Mr. Andik has said that actually is part of the understanding,
the guidelines,
the practice or the guidelines, etc. Now, we would like to argue that it is perhaps necessary to include that as a definite rule, although it is the common understanding, and it has been all along. The time is probably it's necessary to just also explicitly state that and to say that questions put to ministers must relate to the national aim and function for which he or she is responsible. So, which makes it very clear.
It doesn't cause a harm.
It doesn't cause harm, and I just say that I've just been requested to introduce that as a possible additional. And maybe we could swap rule 6 and 7 around, sub rule 6 and 7, so that the rule 6 as a catch-all.
Right, sir, and that is only very exciting.
That's right.
You don't put your question, I think it's foreign relations to a minister of sport and cash.
Can I just see closing it? Because this has happened now recently in Parliament, where a question will be answered by, and it happens with Honourable Mabini Hando, if I may use you as an example. If a minister isn't in the House, a Minister Hando answers literally on behalf of any other minister that's in the House. So certainly the same should be said for the minister answering the question. Because if I ask the Minister of Public Enterprise a question about duty,
I think the answer comes from the Chief Minister. I don't expect Honourable Valerie Pandor to then take the rep and do end up an answer on behalf of another minister. So I think if we go in light of that kind of guideline, then we should also look at that the right minister, unless he has been given a written submission, so for example, and I hope it never happens, Lynn Ryan Hill, and then gives the question and then asks if the deputy isn't there, asks the number of people to answer on their behalf. That's completely acceptable. But for a minister just not to be in the house, and then to avoid embarrassment, another minister stands up and answers, I also don't think that's acceptable.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm confused a bit because the practice that I know is when ministers, the Naledi Pandor, as I said, is when, after member statement, ministers get an opportunity to respond. She often responds on a wide variety of issues that are not in line with it. Perhaps because maybe she doesn't have that much of a problem herself, defend the agenda of cabinet and all these things, but also maybe because they went in class sometimes and so on and so forth. But it seems to me that we're dealing with a substantial different method here, and that is questions like that are put directly to minister. So I want to understand the proposal of the NEC. When you say we must have a new group or sub-group, I don't know, we need to hear that proposal proposed. Where questions that you ask must only be restricted to the Minister of National Line Function Responsibility. If we include that, what does it mean? If a minister says national government doesn't deal with pushing issues in a specific municipality, it means they can't be held responsible about that. Is that when you say national line function, we might be restricting ourselves too much here about a broader conversation, and those questions and answers sometimes bring about, you know, much more creative solutions to problems that are facing the country. So if you restrict it like this, I'm worried that we'll basically be condoning the complaint of ministers. Normally, you know, they just send and they back. But why not in charge then? The people who are in charge, the DA, the general and me, and so on and so forth. Because also to give the minister the responsibility, the sort of opportunity to express themselves, even if they are not as generally, they are in charge of producing questions, to speak directly to how the measure should have been dealt with, and so on. We must not restrict ourselves too much. I'm afraid that it might do that. But maybe I'm misunderstanding what the proposal is.
I want to make a proposal. Let us take a 5-minute break. A 5-minute break will come back and talk. 5-minute break, because those who want to contact you before you continue. You're going to clarify. I'm going to clarify.
You must say right to clarify.
I want to find that from them, proper. Now the problem is that there is a small number of salaries or a land.
Yeah, I remember.
The
yes.
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 Who don't understand anything? So, the visa runs for too long. I'm not guaranteed that in that long time you pay attention to the functioning of the room, the relationship and their
contribution.
Because the other many of them. When a person says, no, you must call me a
mother
and a man. And you say, okay, which one do you think? And they all have to. So, that's why age is another way. So you may have played that.
How do you explain a member not going to the room? Other members don't know the rules because they have just arrived at the end. Other members don't know the rules now because the rules that they have been amended over a period of time. They don't know the rules. And then others
may
be around for a long time, but because they have never had
the rules.
To be an authority on you. Then there was no reason to explain why I was doing that. But the question that the others don't know the rules only because they are just saying they are being sick. On its own.
No, I'm saying.
That's why you don't have to have that arrived. There is a need for an introduction.
That's not the problem
between
you and me.
Yeah.
The problem between you and me is.
Yeah.
Even if I'm making a personal argument,
you
have a personalizing
that
norm. And maybe because
of
You see where this thing comes to it's because when an argument that you are making, very progressive argument that you are making, but this argument will be where we are going to
have.
Already that argument has given place and it has led to a certain point. But now, you are also talking again to us in practice at the moment. You only want to ask that somebody to go back and accept what they have done.
That's why you say that.
Let me come from the beginning. Now, the question is, you
have made the argument.
What is wrong?
You know, that is what you say. That's
everybody says is that you have missed. The legislation is having
fun. My age is identified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But by the virtue of the class that is the minister of
the relevant minister is not there. Another minister who has got knowledge about what is happening in the class. It would be advantageous to allow that minister if he's able to give some sort of response, because that does not move from an end. If you feel that that minister was not a direct minister, the answer that has been given, they are not satisfied, the question can still be posed. For the direct minister, it's an effort to emphatically make sure that there's an answer is there. Rather than that should be postponing when there is someone that's got clear knowledge. Because ministers sometimes, they are assisted from the person. So there are, until certain things change in that particular ministry. You find that you know, even though that you have been moved into another ministry, but the question that has been raised, then you can give light and transfer of the information. Then it must also answer, it must be allowed. But the question is, when you ask a question to a minister, primarily it must be about the functions of that ministry.
You want to make a point? You don't want to vote.
I want to come before him.
Okay.
No, I don't want us to smuggle in. Clustering of questions. We are the one who is responsible for this line and function of this. You must answer that. If it's not, you see, the moment you get to sit in the way that introduction, it becomes clumsy. That then knowledge becomes the super minister, then the tension. You see, we don't have that type of decision in the constitution. It must be very clear that you represent your line function and you answer your line function. Each and every minister has got responsibility. If it has to go to cluster, that's a total different debate about that one. When is it that a minister can then talk of a cluster? Because as of now, it's not been introduced in the room in that particular way. Let's have it in a more proper way, then let's open that discussion, separate discussion. First, do the line function, and then, because if all the officials and everything is not department, deal with that. Answer what is in front of you. Don't try to stress over the house, because the capacity of members might not be the same. Even on their side, I said that you are the one who comes up all over. Then, at the end of the day, the constitution doesn't have a super ministry. It has got only one ministry and must maintain ourselves. And rules must be retained in terms of the constitution. Not in practice is that several bodies will continue working around. I mean, question of clusters more. Nigeria, but there's somebody who carries a particular responsibility for that division. Can that person answer? If it has come, speak to ESCOM and then Lynn Brown answer those questions up to the satisfaction of members in the house. But if you start saying that I'm the super minister, I know everything, then it becomes a problem. It's unconstitutional, it's a work part of this.
Can we also follow?
This is about the elevation of page 195.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to the language of 195. Line function, official responsibility is more, I think it has more weight than line function. Because when I heard line function, I thought we were trying to do it ourselves. So the good here, question was related to that other, for which cabinet members are officially responsible.
Yeah.
And so if the proposal is to elevate that into the room, it was no problem. We might want to,
okay, so I'm Karen? Come on.
I have no problem with the recommendation. But we also have to be very careful. There are mechanisms in case to screen whether the question is appropriate for that minister or that in the administration side. But you've also got to be very careful. If you say I'm limiting it to the line function of that minister, if you take, for example, the justice, the current justice act, it does not only lie primarily with the minister of justice, because it has social components. If you take the terrorism, it's got justice, it's got intelligence, it's got defense, police. So, I'm just thinking, you know, it's starting to become a bit too restrictive. We're not giving credit to the members message for sufficient intelligence that I'm asking a particular minister a question. And thirdly, we are not also giving credit that the administration can suss it out and say, okay, you know, you ask this question to the Minister of Intelligence, but actually it's around the terrorism act and it actually lies with the Minister of Police. So again, it comes back to what's in practice, what's in convention, what could be in guidelines, and what should be in the rules.
So official punishment was in the guidelines of the question.
Yeah.
But the question would be on the official punishment of the minister. Official punishments are a little bit bigger. And then the broader, they can cover everyone on that. It's just the minister that's on the arm. And I think that has to be helpful. Take it from the guidelines, put it in our rules. Just again clarifying it is when a member comes in, he knows exactly what his frustration on, and then pose the question, and then we'll work out. They seem that he's with their bank, they'll bank everything according to the machine. I think they're very happy about that. They'll nationalize it. Last more question. I think we are agreed on this. All questions on the first question, based on the assisting of the, that is sitting there of the MFS labs. At the end of that day.
Okay, so the next week, new proposed rules by the subcommittee. Now, it is elevated rule 3162 and just introduced it here with specific reference to questions, outstanding replies, and it also gave a couple of days of pretty working day. The ANC's proposal is that it remains as is in the government rule 316. We can incorporate it here, but then it should be referred to at the end of the last 3 days. In other words, everything that has been processed before that time must still be replied to, which is what we usually have where all the replies are coming in. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Then you are just getting rid of friendly working days.
Yeah.
Okay.
As is.
One is last is last. The last meeting is last meeting of the administration closing.
It does mean, Chair, that the last day on which you can receive questions for written reply is several days before the last sitting day.
Yeah.
And what is exactly that number of days, Michael?
Five.
Currently, there is no provision for a cut-off for questions being received because we would normally take questions on right up until the last session of the National Assembly. So in the week when the National Assembly has its last sitting, which is in November, then in that week we will publish a question paper. And then the House adjourns, and then the questions will still be replied to. You have a practical problem on this. Because we say that the questions lapse at the end of that week, while question paper has been published, then ministers have no opportunity then to reply, and all those questions lapse and are recorded against ministers as they have not replied to those questions. So therefore, the proposal as it stands of 20 working days after the last sitting day is a more practical one and would make allowance for that.
I think, if
we take the rule as we are putting it now, the administration does not get a system that makes this to work. If they are going to issue a notice that the last day for a person, it is 7 days or 5 days before the last sitting day to member, then it should be done so it's administrative action. I think what now we are receiving is a few administrative measures of implementing a rule. And then that's why I brought that one. If they say, if the last meeting is on the 20th of December, then they should be administrative to determine what is the correct date that we must be the last day to finish the question, to make sure that those questions then are in the house on that last meeting. And that's administrative measures.
And then Michael O'Connor.
Okay, I disagree that the administration is an administrative thing. As a member of Parliament, you are entitled to certain questions right up until the last date. Now, written questions, I think in terms of oral questions, that, you know, according to the program that you are going to do that. I think what applies to you is a very important point. That we should retain the 20 working days because the DA must to maximize the issue that the minister hasn't answered the question. So I think as a good safety mechanism and also to allow the ministers to complete their work, that we should actually allow enough time after the last 15 days. That doesn't necessarily have to be 20 days, it could be 15 days. Because usually, now there's a cause of maybe we have a problem with it, so the minister hasn't done their work. We are entitled to ask the question right up until the last 15 days and it's in question. And once the House rises for that session, then of course we can't do that, but then the fact is the question is here, when does it get answered? And if we allow for all questions to get from the last question, we actually shooting ourselves in the head.
Those who wanted to take a poem?
No, I think Mashiro Honorable Mashiro. I would appeal to Honorable Mashiro that we maybe not send on this as well. I think it's proper. Even with 20 days left, I'm not convinced that. I think I know Honorable Mashiro will
Is that on the source document, is that for me to propose 20 working days?
Yes.
That is the aim to propose the last is then the aim is must motivate for the issue for us to take a final decision. If you are happy with the subcommittee was proposing it, better move on.
Let's move on.
I
don't understand because we are now seeing all questions on the question page. And then the last 20 days after the last meeting. Now, if you talk about core questions, inclusive of questions for oral reply, what's going to happen after the last 15 days?
No.
My understanding and Michael was talking is that questions that have not been oral replied, that have not been replied from the last sitting day, become written questions.
Yeah.
Can I respond? Once you get to the last thing, the all questions that have not yet replied to, the reply must be provided in writing before questions land. Now, in terms of rule 1141, and in terms of 1142, there's a determination that after the question day, the replies must be submitted that has not been reached within the allotted 2 hours. So, it's sort of like, you know, axiomatic, therefore they have to be provided at some stage, whether it is when the minister's already briefed of 1141 and 2, it must be provided at the end of the last sitting that at least. But if it is not provided, it lasts. And the member then has the right to resubmit it as a new question in the next year.
My chair, I have a great day. You are the one who has been questioned. So don't put the great damage off until you have raised the country.
Yeah.
Great damage is off. Parliament can dissolve this, but the country should also have raised it. The executive remains in place until the US raises it over.
We're talking annual.
No, I'm just saying that annual question can flow until the end of your term. It's fine. 20 days, cover the floor, cover the session. Give also space for ministers. very sufficient time to answer questions. But if you reduce it to 5, it will be very difficult for you to sit down very much. Stop everything that is doing to answer that question. And then that is a problem. I think 20 days from the first COVID was meant for giving sufficient time for ministers to do. Because some of the person of, I saw one person, I think it was a Shambiwa. That person was almost needed the Secretary General. But he asked to the minister, but he must go to the Secretary General. It's a very detailed question. And it is not correct to do so. I think this allows the person not to be shocked. Because I think I should understand.
I was very confused, but I got confused about what should I be in the middle of the church in front.
Okay.
It seems to agree that these are five and two.
That's the point that I'm trying to find out if we have a problem for us in principles, you know. Does it break any principle in terms of our whole week? Are you fine? Don't forget that you are the one who put this proposal.
No, we are wrong. Put our proposal. You are opening it up.
Oh, it's closed now.
And what you are reading here is not related to my year by year on goals. That's what they are doing. And the proposal is...
This charity, 3162, refers to the situation at the end of the term.
Yeah.
Is it necessary for us to also include reference to that? Or is it covered with a new introduction of
107? The 107A is specifically about annual session.
Yeah.
316 is specifically about the end of the 5-year term,
okay.
When the last results.
Have a
it
was 316, which refers to annual business, the natural. And the one that refers to the annual business, one. And sub 2 refers to at the end of the term,
yeah,
of the parliament. My question is, since we have now captured 107, with reference to the annual session, is it not important that we also make reference to the same extension of the period at the end of a term of parliament? Otherwise, the chairperson actually mentioned that when you said, remember, a cabinet continues. So obviously, the cabinet should also continue to answer the questions, and we should extend the period for the end of the term as well.
They allowed it today, should it? No. Those supporting that list. I don't want any questions.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, let's say that 316 is of sub 2 is of general application, all business. Letters in his bed, the day the house ceases to exist. So receiving replies, the members aren't there anymore to receive those replies, so that they'd be in a vacuum.
And the members
of
the church
are not
becoming there.
For sure. Yeah. So 316 is a general application.
Good excuse for members
and ministers, not. And 107 is a specific exception for annual sessions.
Already, the platform of question, you have concluded their 20-day response.
Yeah.
We move on that. We take the subcommittee rules. 107B.
Monitoring,
replies to questions. Okay. Any point there? Should we agree? Yes, Julie and her cousin, those.
Can I just say that, obviously, monitoring the replies, in the past what has happened was that which actually monitor replies, etc., and members themselves. Now, I know at some stages certain documents are presented to committees, as the Rules Committee, etc., but the issue now is if there is necessity to monitor, there is a suggestion by the ANC that that the information must be shared with the Minister of Government Business, because essentially that is the key in the link between the executive and the national.
You're fine? Okay.
No, my interpretation is the phrase in consultation is pure master in consultation.
With the response.
And then not supposed to be after consultation.
It's in consultation, sir. Because we have been very clear that the rules committee is more about if Banaraj is everything here in the institution. You see. The speaker has to work with the rules committee to be able to say that power will monitor this process. It's a consultation.
Okay.
Yeah, but she's also subjected to the rules committee.
Just to clarify the NC's decision, what he's essentially saying is that the rule as proposed as present, 107B, must become sub-1. 107B sub-1. And we want to have a new sub-2, which refers to the leader of government business, and it is stipulated right at the bottom there. The leader of government business must be informed any steps taken in respect of any member of the executive and giving effect to the monitoring of replies to questions and the application of rules 104, 115, 116, and 116.
Okay, so we have the list.
Yes.
I think it's a good time for us before we still present for all us reply to take 45 minutes of our time. Enjoy something. It's not coming.